This story really is our sermon for today. I hope that later today or sometime this week, you can go back and read through it again. It is a long, sometimes confusing, but beautiful, beautiful story. It is an ancient story to us. In fact, let me tell you how ancient it really is. We read the New Testament, and sometimes we have a difficult time understanding the New Testament because it seems like it was so long ago to us, a different culture, a different time. Most scholars believe Abraham and his family lived 2,000 years before Jesus. That means that as far back as we are from Jesus, Jesus and his disciples and companions were that far away from Abraham. It is a long, ancient story. But it is such a beautiful, important story. And even though we're separated by time, there is one very significant parallel to our lives for today. We live by faith, just like the people in Genesis. Isaac, his family, the servant, they had to trust God just as we do today. They had to believe that God would care for them in their time of need. We read this text and we realize that God has a word for us today. In just a few moments, I just want to share some really important key points that stand out to me that I hope apply to your life today as well. The first is this. This story tells us to trust God. When life feels upside down, when life is confusing, when life is difficult, when life's not going the way we want it to, we're reminded through this story that the key of faith is trusting God. That God will care for us. Not everyone in this story trusted God. Laban, Rebekah's brother, was one who seems much more interested in gold, in riches, in pursuing what life has to offer than in trusting God. But in contrast to Laban, we have the servant who would not be distracted from his calling. From his assignment. Earlier in chapter 24, the servant prayed fervently that God would guide him on his day. He was focused on trusting in God. Even when they laid a lavish feast before him, you remember as Dr. Hamilton read earlier, the text tells us in verse 33, the food was set before him, but he said, the servant, I will not eat until I have told you what I have to say. In our world today, we're often distracted from our calling to trust God in the difficult times of life. I read an article this week where a person said, these are his words, I've always had a hard time not getting distracted. As a kid, he said, I would blare my favorite music while driving, much to my parents' frustration. I still haven't outgrown that. I don't know if any of you share that, but I still do that today. But he goes, they would tell me, Jimmy, if you're not careful, you're going to have a wreck. And sure enough, I did, he said. That day was a day of awakening for me in more ways than one. He said, I realized that distraction in driving, distraction in life could really get me into trouble. But here's what he said he learned from that. For all of us, he said, if we allow distraction to creep into our lives, we eventually find that if we give the enemy an inch, the enemy will take a mile. What started out as something very simple can totally ruin our lives if left unchecked. That's why we started this service with Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 through 6. Trust. In the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will guide and direct your paths. In the most difficult times of life, this story reminds us of God's faithfulness to us, of our key to trust in God. You'll note also that throughout this story, there is a focus on God's provision for life, God's provisions. The servant, trusting God, acknowledged that God was the one who was providing all the blessings. the blessings for his master, the blessings for his own journey. Here's what we remember. The servant emphasized God's provision, not the provisions themselves, but God's provision. Listen again to verse 35. The Lord blessed my master abundantly, the servant said. Notice he didn't say, my master has this and my master has that. No, the servant is very clear. God has given to my master everything that he has. And the servant acknowledged God's guidance and blessings in his own life in sending Rebekah to the well in the spring that day. Remember, the servant prayed that God would answer his prayers, and any success he experienced in this mission, the servant focused that completely on God. Again, what an important lesson for our lives today. See, in our lives today, what we have is a byproduct of our joint relationship with God. This passage reminds me of an equation that I think is so important. Our effort plus God's provision equals our situation in life. Our effort plus God's provision equals our situation in life. Bragging about what we have achieved seems so worthless in the face of acknowledging what God has done for us. Then again, throughout this story, there is a determination. There is a desire to fulfill what God has started. I don't know if you remember, but in the story, after a lavish banquet, the next morning, the servant doesn't sleep in late. No, the text tells us that the next morning he was up ready again to complete and fulfill what God had started, the mission that he was called to. But it was then that the obstacle, the problem came. They always come. When we're trying to do in our lives what God has called us to do, the obstacles always come. For the servant, he was asked to delay his trip back home with Rebekah. Laban and the mother said, "Can we just have Rebekah stay with us for 10 more days?" What should the servant do? He was called to bring her back. And yet, here was a problem, an obstacle. Well, at first, it sounds like a nice, kind request. A brother and a mother who want the daughter and the sister to stay with them for a little bit longer. But later in Genesis, we learn about Laban. And as we said before, he's much more interested in deceitful plans and getting all the gold that he can. He wants to know what is in the pouches on the camel's back more than he's interested in 10 more days with his sister. So he refuses. And note this, Rebekah refused too. When they go to Rebekah and say, "Do you want to stay here or do you want to go with the servant?" She said, "I'm ready and willing to go." She immediately agreed to resolve with determination to do what God was calling. I would ask you today, what is God starting in your life? What is God doing? How is God actively at work? What is God calling you to do right now? And what is getting in the way? What is trying to stall you or delay you from doing what God wants you to do? For all of us, there will always be people, there will always be events that try to keep us, prevent us from doing what God wants us to do. But this story reminds us about the resolve and determination to make sure we continue the path to do what God has called us to do. That is what our Lord Jesus Christ did. That is what we're called to do as well. See, Jesus is our guide for how we are to live. I was thinking this week about that concept and realizing that, you know, in our lives today, many of our guides are changing. Many of the things we have relied upon and looked to as guides in the past, they're changing. Some of them are silly illustrations, but think about this. 20, 25 years ago, if you wanted to know what was on TV, what did you do? You had to look to a little printed book called TV Guide, right? You had to look at that to see what was on television. You didn't have another way to do it unless you opened the newspaper maybe and looked in the newspaper section for what was on TV. But today the guide is built into the TV, right? We just have to turn it on and follow, or you can ask Siri or Alexis or whatever other voice you want to ask, right, to find out what you need. Our guides are changing. Same is true with travel. It used to be if you wanted to go somewhere you'd never been before, you'd have to go buy a printed map. You mapped out where you wanted to go, right? You followed this printed guide, but now we just put it into our GPS. We put it into our telephone. That's our guide now. And this nice, polite voice kind of just guides us where we're supposed to go. I have to confess, do you ever try to frustrate that little voice? Turn right. I'll say, I'm not going to turn right. I'm going to go straight. I want to hear that voice one day say, you know what? Why don't you listen to me? I'm just trying to help you, right? Our guides are changing. In our spiritual lives, our guides are changing. For many people, who do I listen to? What voice guides and directs me? How do I know what I'm supposed to do in life? Even spiritually, our guides are changing. But let's be clear, from this text, for believers, God is our guide. For Christians, Jesus Christ is our guide. The Holy Spirit remains our guide for how we are to live, who we are to listen to, what we are to trust, how we are to know what to do in this changing, complicated, difficult world. Here's the last thing. Throughout this story, and go back and read it and notice, but especially at the end, there is a focus on meditating on God and God's promises. At the very end of this story, we are told, Wes read it earlier, that Isaac is at Beer Lahai-Roi. Now that place may not mean much to us, but earlier in Genesis, that was the very place when Hagar had run away from Abraham's family that God found her and God provided for her at Beer Lahai-Roi. And now Isaac is there. And what does Isaac do there? Listen to verse 63. Isaac went out to the field at Beer Lahai-Roi to meditate. Why? What do you do when you're lonely? What do you do when you're hurting? What do you do when you're in need? What do you do when the world turns upside down? What do you do when you're sick and tired of a pandemic? What do you do when you have no one to talk to, but you need someone to listen to you? The psalmist says in Psalm 119, I meditate on your precepts. That's God's commands, God's promises. I meditate on those things. And listen to this. I consider your ways, God. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. To meditate on the promises of God, it allows the Holy Spirit to speak to us, to heal us, to change us, to give us hope in our time of need, to meditate on God and God's promises in our lives. It lets the Holy Spirit shape and form our thinking and our behavior. You see, meditating on God and on God's promises is one of the primary ways that God guides and directs our life. Isaac was out in the middle of a field because his mother had died. He didn't have a wife. His life had turned upside down. He didn't know what was going to happen, and he meditated on God's promises. And God provided. A minister tells the story that when he was in seminary in the 1960s, it was very hot, and he and his wife didn't have an air conditioner in their apartment, and they couldn't afford one, and so they didn't know what they would do. And the wife said, here's what I think we should do. Don't tell anyone about our need, and let's just pray about it, and let's meditate and focus on God's promises. That's what we'll do. And so that's what they did. They went home to her family for a quick visit, and while they were there staying with her parents, out of the blue, a phone call came from a man who lived across the street, a family friend who had known the family for years. And he said to the young minister on the line, he said, "Hey, listen, I've got a brand new air conditioner. It's never been used, and you know, when I saw your car in the driveway, I don't know why, but I just felt compelled to call you and ask, could you use a brand new air conditioner?" Life doesn't always work that way, but God will provide. God is faithful. God is there for us in our time of need. And what this story reminds us is focus on that. Not on all the problems, not all the difficulties, not all the concerns of this world, because they're plenty and they're always going to be here. But focus on God's promise. Remember what Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." Meditate on them. What are we doing? Trusting God. See, this is an ancient story. It's far removed from our lives today. But what contemporary lessons? Trust God. Acknowledge God's provision in your life. Be determined, resolved to fulfill what God has started within you. And meditate. Trust in God's promises. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, we are grateful that on this day when we read a story of people who lived so long ago, that we're reminded of how you continue to work in our lives. Lord, thank you for the example set before us. And most of all, thank you for your faithfulness, for it is indeed great. We pray in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.